Make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, this man, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. And then also chapter 32, the same chapter, verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, O, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people in the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron had made. And then the next chapter, chapter 33, verse 15. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And then verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff to the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight to ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that is displeasing in thy sight, I pray you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and I pray that you'll cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you for this day, for the mercies of it. Thank you for this place. Thank you for Broad River Baptist Church. Thank you for this dear man of God and his family. And I pray, Lord, your continued blessings on him. And I pray for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such a beautiful tabernacle, such a place to come and to worship you. Thank you for the wonderful singing, the songs that have been sung, for Brother Morgan that's led the singing, all that have sung. I pray, Lord, now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. I pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind. Loose my tongue, and may the word go forth in its power. I pray that you'll drive back every force, every power of evil, that the Spirit of God shall have his way in every heart. And when we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us, that God has said something to our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer and soon coming King, I humbly pray, amen. You notice in the scriptures that I read tonight, especially verse 21 of the 33rd chapter, "And the Lord said, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." I want to speak to you tonight about finding your place. In Exodus chapter 19, the Lord had descended in fire upon Mount Sinai. And the Bible said that Mount Sinai literally trembled and shook with an earthquake when God settled on Mount Sinai. The congregation of Israel was called together by a trumpet that made the people tremble. And there was fear. And even Moses, the servant of the Lord, said, "I do exceedingly fear and quake." God spoke the words through Moses back in Exodus chapter 20. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." While Moses was on the mountain receiving the commandments of God, he is informed by God that the Israelites are worshiping a molten calf. Now God could have, of course, told Moses earlier and sent Moses down to have stopped it before it ever happened. God does not stop us from our sinning, but on the other hand, we cannot stop God when He comes to judge our sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that reapeth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. People often detach the events of our day from judgment and give us the idea that God does not judge. Now, I know that every terrible act is not always a direct result of the judgment of God. And I know that there are dear people of the Lord, some of the best people, who suffer grief and unimaginable sorrow. And yet I do know that sometimes God does send judgment. But I think that when God sends judgment, that He makes us aware that He is sending judgment. God don't try to get our attention. He gets our attention.
Yes, sir.
If He wants your attention, you can rest assured He can get it. On 9/11, those two 767 jets crashed into the tires of the World Trade Center. That did not take God by surprise. God could have stopped it. That little tropical wave named Katrina that turned into a Hurricane Katrina was not caused by man. God raised the waves of the sea. And God sent the waters that covered New Orleans. I remember that Monday I was in a meeting in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and the remnants of Katrina came through, and I was waiting in the lobby of the hotel for the pastor to go out to lunch. And I saw a magazine on the table where I was waiting in the lobby. And it said, "New Orleans, the Big Easy, where the party never ends." Well, it ended that Monday morning.
Yes.
And when God wants to get our attention, He gets our attention. The Word of God has the timeless message for this turbulent age. Moses found his place with God. The only place of security, the only place of sweet rest is near to the heart of God. Isaiah said that he entered into it as it were a chamber and shut himself up to God. I am grateful that there is a place of rest near to the heart of God. The Lord said to Moses, "There is a place by me that's better than any political, that's better than any social or ecclesiastical position."
Yes.
A place by the Lord. So you walk with Him. You have fellowship with Him. That is the greatest treasure on planet Earth. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, like sweet communion with the Lord. Amen. And to know that He lives in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Bible says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't get any closer than that. If you're saved, Christ literally dwells in your heart. There's a place by me. And you, as we look at this story, you note that there was investigation. Now, the first step that led to the golden calf began with the sin of impatience. Moses had been called away on the mountain to receive the commandments of God. And some began to say Moses wasn't coming back. They said, it's for this man Moses. We don't know what's become of him. We don't know where he's at. For all we know, he's dead and we'll never see him again. They became impatient about the return of Moses. The Bible says concerning our Lord's return, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The Bible declares in the book of Peter that men and people will say, where's the promise of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the foundation of the world, the beginning of creation. And then Peter reminds them that all things have not continued the same. There was a judgment of the earth in flood. And one day the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, kept in store, are reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But Peter said, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Yes, it is sir. Willful ignorance. I do believe that we are in the last days. I think these are perilous times. And Brother David, these are not perilous times. I don't think I want to be here when perilous times do come.
Yes,
I do believe that we are living in the last days. But I do know this, that our Lord will return again.
Yes,
as sure as he came the first time to planet earth, he is coming in the air to receive his church in the clouds. What a wonderful hope. When we lose sight of the coming of the Lord, then our hope begins to fade. Then we're open to all the attacks and the wiles of the devil. He is coming back again. Now the Israelites had been delivered from Egypt, a type of this world. But they got tired of waiting. And the danger is sometimes people get tired of waiting on God. And so they initiate their plans. They got tired of waiting to enter the promised land. And so while Moses was away on the mountain, because of their sin of impatience, that led to the sin of imitation. They said to Aaron, the assistant pastor, make us gods. For this man, Moses, we don't know where he's at. We don't know if he's ever coming back again or not. Men have tried to create a god to suit themselves. Now remember that these people were not heathen. They'd seen the glory of God in a cloud, a pillar of fire. And they had witnessed God opening up the Red Sea, causing them and allowing them to march over on dry ground. They had seen all of that. But still, even with that knowledge, they got tired of waiting on God. They had seen the mountains tremble, Mount Sinai. They had seen the smoke. They had heard the trumpet that was so terrible from Mount Sinai that the people said, let us not hear this again. And they said, we're going to make us gods and worship false gods.
Yes.
Knowing well that it was the God of heaven that had delivered them. They turned from God and from God's law. And then that sin of impatience led to the sin of idolatry. They created this idol, this lifeless, breathless, goofy-looking golden calf.
Yes,
and worship that golden calf. These people that had seen God work in such a mighty hand, with a mighty hand, fell down before this idol that created with their own hands.
Yes,
and
sir.
Said, "These be the gods which delivered us from the land of Egypt." And because Aaron yielded to the pressure of the crowd, Aaron, who spoke so well when the plagues of Egypt were executed, now in obedience to the people, made a golden calf and worshiped before it. He built an altar before it and proclaimed a feast unto the Lord on tomorrow. Now you get that. They're worshiping a golden calf, but they're going to celebrate a feast of the Lord tomorrow. They're going to mix up all their knowledge of God, of heathenism, and idolatry. And that seems to me that is what much of religion is doing today. We have got the idea that this book will not work. That preaching and praying was good for the age of our forefathers. But it will not work in our day. And we're told it's all right to do whatever we want to do, just so we do it.
Come on,
in the name of the Lord.
Come on,
this expressive dancing is called worship of God. And I think it's significant that they use beautiful young girls instead of ugly old men.
Yeah, yeah.
And they give the idea that whatever the method,
yeah,
it's all right if we just do it in the name of the Lord. Instead of just plain rock and roll, we'll call it Christian rock. We'll put a Christian title to it. And that'll make it all right. And so there's a mixture of heathenism and idolatry. And I remind you that we are living in the church of the Laodicean age. But I want to say my address is still Philadelphia. I still belong to the Church of Revival. I still believe preaching and praying will work. I know that it's a slower method, but it will work. And it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those which believe. And if revival comes, and if power comes, it will come by doing things God's prescribed way. We live in a day where people create their own gods and then expect God to approve all their worship.
You're right.
I read once about a man who was driving through the country, and he saw a barn, the side of a barn. It was filled full of arrows. And the unusual thing about it was, every one of those arrows was right in the bullseye. And so the man stopped, was asking the farmer about it, and said, Who shot all these arrows and got a bullseye every time?" And the farmer laughed and said, "Oh, the village idiot did that. He put the arrows on the barn in the place and then drew the bullseye around it." I think that's what we do. We're going to say it's of God and put God's name on it and blame it all on God. And so that was the sin of impatience, the sin of idolatry, and that was the sin of immorality. They had a love in, and they had a worship of God, a false worship of God. They were literally naked. Immorality is always the outcome of religion without God. Titus 1:15 says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their minds and conscience is defiled." And then you'll note intercession. Now Moses, first of all, had to deal with sin. And he asked the question, who's on the Lord's side. And the sons of Levi slew about 3,000 men, the Bible says. First of all, he destroyed the calf, burned it, ground it to powder, poured it in the water, and then made them drink it. Some God that calf was, they drank him all up.
Yes.
And I'm sure they got a bellyache as a result. Good enough. They'd forsaken God. They'd turned their backs on God. And now they are paying the price of it. And so that was Moses' intercession. Now, I doubt that Moses, of course, would have filled up a Colosseum. Do you think that after 3,000 Levites, after the Levites had killed about 3,000, the God had been ground up, the people had to drink the water from that idol? Do you think that Moses would have been very popular? I don't think so. Moses was faithful to the Lord. Noah was faithful unto the Lord. Noah preached 120 years, but they still would not repent. And the flood overtook them and destroyed them. Noah didn't stand out in front of that ark and say, "Smile, everybody. Something wonderful is about to happen." He preached judgment 120 years, but they would not repent. You can rest assured, of course, that Noah did it with a broken heart. I'm sure before he cut down one gopher tree to start building the ark, he cried out to God and daily prayed for those people, but they would not repent. That was the passion of Moses' prayer. And I do wish that people would get hungry for God again. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You notice in our scripture, our text tonight, the prayer of Moses in verse 32 of the 32nd chapter. "Yet now, if thou wilt not forgive their sin," and then you find something you don't find in all the Word of God. There's a hyphen. It is as the Holy Ghost pauses. "And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." God, if you will not forgive their sin, let me die with them. Let me go down to perdition with them. But of course, God does not do that. And the Lord heard his prayer. I am grateful for praying in the Spirit of God, praying with a burden. The same thing was true of the Apostle Paul. He said that he could have wished himself a curse from Israel if they would not repent. But of course, if God has saved you, it's an eternal transaction. In the book of the Revelation, 22nd chapter, and the 19th verse. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And I am so glad that once our name is in the book of heaven, it is there forever. That does not by any means teach that we can fall from grace. And those officers saved could ever become lost again. A regenerated man believes the word. If you not believe the word, you're not saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And no person is saved apart from the word of God.
Yes, sir.
And of course it can never be. If you're saved, you believe the book.
Right.
A regenerated man believes the word. A regenerated woman believes the word. He will not, she will not mutilate the word of God.
Amen.
A person may stand in a great pulpit, teach in a great university, have a great following, but if he does not follow God's word and believe God's word, he does not know God. If God has saved you,
yes, sir,
it's because you have put faith in him and in his word. Because Jesus is the Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. Yeah. And the Word was with God. Yeah. And the Word was manifest. And He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten. Right. Had the privilege once to visit the boyhood home of Ronald Reagan in Dixon, Illinois. And the bedroom of his mother was roped off. And the lady standing there pointed out to the bed. And there was an open Bible lying on the bed. The one that was used at the inauguration of Ronald Reagan. And she said, I don't know, I don't remember what scripture it's open to. I wasn't being smart, but I said, I do. I just read an account of shortly before that. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 had been underlined. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land.
Yes,
and forgive their sin. And Neil Reagan had written beside that verse, what a wonderful promise to a nation away from God. Oh, how America needs that verse today. I am grateful for those who have a burden to pray and pray like Moses prayed. Jude reminds us one of the ways that we're to keep ourselves in these last days is to keep ourselves in the love of God and to pray in the Holy Ghost. There's praying, and there's praying in the Holy Ghost. And there are times when the words just don't seem to formulate on our lips. But down in our heart, we know that God heard our prayer. I'm grateful Paul said that the Spirit itself, make intercession for us. And He takes the groaning and the utterance of our hearts. And when the Holy Ghost is through with our prayer, though we might not have even followed the words, and the words would not formulate on our lips, and we just groan and wept before the Lord, when the Holy Ghost gets through with that prayer, it is perfect before the throne of God. Yeah. It is perfumed by the Spirit of God and made perfect. He helps us pray. The power of His prayer. God had mercy. And He spared Israel as a nation. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Yeah. Lastly, inspiration. The presence of God. There's no substitution for the presence of God. Moses said in the 33rd chapter, show me thy way. We've gone our way long enough. Yeah. It's time to go God's way. Only trust and obey. And there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God said in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up, not up hence. In other words, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. I read once of a vicar, a preacher over in England, who one Sunday morning didn't show up at the church, and he was still at the manse, or the parsonage, the manse, as it's called, where the preacher lived. And so one of the men went over to check on him, and he came back and said to the church, I don't know what he's doing, but I heard the preacher say to somebody, if you don't go with me today, I'm not going. That's what Moses said. Yeah. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. Yeah. And I want to say that if the Lord does not attend our work, our labor, it's all in vain.
Yes, sir.
You can't imagine how petrified I was the first time I preached as a 12-year-old boy. And I'd been happy all my life just to stay by myself. I didn't have any problem with that. That's just my nature. But I'm so glad that I enjoyed the Lord's presence all these years. But I know this. Even after all these years, Brother Morgan, I wouldn't dare to get in the pulpit if I didn't feel the Lord would help me.
Yes.
And He would go with me.
Right.
And He would touch my lips.
Yes, sir.
It does not matter how long you've been at it. If the Lord does not give us divine assistance,
yes,
it is all in vain. And my cry is still, oh Lord, send the power.
Yes, sir.
And I'm never as liberated. And I never feel as free as when God puts His power on me.
Yes,
gives me liberty to preach.
Amen.
I know that sometimes that measure of anointing varies, Brother Reed. Sometimes it seems like I can't get the words from my brain to my mouth fast enough. Sometimes it seems like I don't even have a brain.
Yes,
and the words will not come.
Bless us.
But all that we are, we owe to Him.
Yes.
I want His power. I want His presence.
Yes.
I can't depend on my personality.
Yes.
I can't depend on my ability. But I can depend on Him. I can lean on the everlasting arms and have the assurance if I will go in His name and yield myself to Him, that I can enjoy His presence. The presence of God. God's everywhere. But there are times when He manifests His presence in a special way. It's always better when the King comes in.
Yes, sir.
The feast never reaches its climax till the King reveals Himself. And as a result of that, there's the peace of God. Moses said, "Show me thy glory." He asked to see God's glory, and he saw God's goodness. For the glory of the Lord lies in His goodness, the works of His hands, and the way of His providence, and the wonder of His grace. His glory is in His sovereignty. His glory is in His majesty. He's got the whole world in His hand.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 40 says this concerning the greatness of our God, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him, with whom took He counsel,
yes,
who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. He's got the whole world in His hands.
Yes, sir.
God's not in a panic. God's not walking up and down the ivory palaces taking Addison's about to go to pieces. He is in complete control. And one day He will put everything in order that's out of order. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, His Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Show me thy presence. He wanted to see the glory of God. And he saw His goodness. Moses said, "Lord, I want to see Your face." But God said, "Moses, I can't let you do that. No man, no flesh can see My face and live. But I'm going to do the next best thing. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And the glory of God's going to pass behind you, the backward part of My glory. And that'll do it." Sure enough, Moses came down off the mountain. Moses didn't know it. But his face was shining. His skin was bright with the glory of God. And I'm sure that they're afraid even to look upon Moses because of the glory of God that he put on him. Nobody put glory in your soul like God. Nobody can give you peace like God. We live in a dark world, but I'm grateful that God's grace can make us different in this world that is no friend to the grace of God. Moses found his place with God. He knew his place. I know my place. My place is with the Lord. You can face this godless, graceless, goofy, gainsaying world. Yes. When you're in that place, there's a place by me where we can stand with the Lord and behold His glory.
Bless the Lord.